Our biggest obstacle to change is not the people around us, are not the people over us. You are your greatest challenge to change.
This is Straight Talk.
You're listening to Straight Talk Radio. This is Joshua Halleck. I'm here with Senior Pastor Mark Job of New Life Community Church. Pastor Mark, thank you for today's message out of John chapter 5. In our series called Moved, we see how Christ was moved, and we see how we also are moved in our interaction with Him. And today, you're taking us to the story of the man at the pool of Siloam who was laying there waiting around and encounters Jesus, and really his life has changed forever. You've called it Stop Waiting Around. Do you feel, as a pastor in Chicago for over 30 years, have you found many people are just waiting around when, in fact, they're supposed to be taking action?
I do, Joshua. I feel like there's a lot of people that have a little bit of a lottery mentality. I hope life is going to get better, a little bit like this guy, waiting around for the magical, waiting around for the pool to move. But really, change happens when the pain of staying the same is greater than the pain of change. There's got to be something that pushes us to change. And if you've just been waiting around for your marriage to get better, waiting around for your life to change, waiting around hoping that just by accident something's going to happen, it doesn't work that way. I believe change starts when something greater than ourselves awakens us to the possibility of a different future. And that is the God factor.
Yeah, that's powerful. Can you think of someone who might be listening who, you know, they have been waiting around and they don't even realize yet how this message is the key to help them get moving?
Yeah, I think of the person that is waiting around hoping that one day they will break out of an addictive habit, that maybe one day they'll get tired of it. They're living with it. One day magic will happen and maybe they'll pop out of it. But, you know, they need to accelerate that day. And that day happens when you decide, am I really willing to change? And if I am, I need to do something about it. So if you're there thinking, yeah, hopefully in 2 years, 5 years, 6 years, it's going to change. I'm going to tell you, in 6 years from now, you could be in the same place if you're just waiting around.
Yeah, in Christ, He's at the center of our transformation, isn't He?
Absolutely. Things change when we're willing to grasp out to Jesus and say, I will no longer just wait around.
And in your message today, I mean, there's a guy like that waiting around, and he meets Jesus, and his problem doesn't disappear. Jesus tells him to take action.
Yes.
And love that.
Challenges him. And I love that he says, do you want to get well? In other words, do you want to change?
Good stuff. Let's get right into that message. This is called Stop Waiting Around, John chapter 5.
I want to talk to you about stop waiting around. You could be waiting around on an old sofa with coffee stains on it, or you could be waiting around by a pool with a bunch of other people that are waiting around. But some of us have been waiting around for a long, long time. About 2 weeks ago, I flew in from Ohio. I was speaking at a men's conference, powerful men's conference, over 1,000 men there. Good things happened. I was on my way back. I was tired. And so I texted my wife and I said, hey, can you pick me up at the airport, honey? And she said, well, let me check. So she texted me back and she said, Josiah, we'll pick you up at the airport. I said, great. So I arrived at O'Hare Airport, went, I picked up my luggage. I made my way to the exit door, and I texted Josiah, I said, are you close? And he said, yeah, kind of complaining. I've been waiting 40 minutes over here, and about time the airplane gets in, glad that you got in. And so I said, okay, what car are you driving? He told me the color. I said, I'm waiting. And I waited, and I waited. I texted him, hey, are you close? He said, I'm here. I said, what do you mean you're here? I said, I'm at Terminal 3. He said, I'm at Terminal 3. So I called him up. I said, Josiah, where are you? He said, I'm at Terminal 3. I said, can't you see me? I'm standing out here. He says, there's almost no one here. I said, no, there's a lot of people here. I'm at Terminal 3 O'Hare Airport. silence on the other side of the line. He said, O'Hare Airport? He said, I'm at Midway Airport. Let me tell you, sometimes we can be waiting at the wrong place for something to change. And you can wait and wait and wait, but if you're at the wrong place, it's never going to change. And some of us are that way in life. We're waiting by a pool, expecting change to happen. We're waiting on a couch, expecting change to happen. We're just waiting there, expecting that somehow, some way, something superstitious or miraculous or life-changing is going to happen just while we wait. And I'm here to tell you, listen, I believe that if you're waiting at the wrong place, what's going to happen is that 3 years from now, you're going to be in the same place that you are today. Because change doesn't just happen by waiting around. There are some people that need to take some drastic steps in the direction of your marriage, but you're just waiting around hoping that by some chance that your marriage is going to fix itself. But if you don't take a step, you'll be in the same place 4 years from now. Some of you are struggling with the fact that you're really struggling with being a parent and you're angry and you're blowing up and you're yelling at the kids and you're expecting that it's just going to change one day from the next, that something's going to happen. Some of you are in a financial situation that's not good. It's going from bad to worse and you just expect, well, one day this is just going to all solve itself. It's a lottery mentality, hoping that if we wait around long enough that something good is going to happen, but we're waiting at the wrong place. So I want to take you to a story today found in John chapter 5, because I don't want you to wait around. I want you to take some steps. I believe that God is speaking to some people today. And in fact, I believe that as I prayed for you, there are some of you that you're going to be making a decision today that will be a life-altering decision. At the end of this service, I'm going to ask people to come forward that need prayer. But I'm challenging some people at the end of this service to make a decision. Big decision. A decision to whether or not you are choosing to surrender your life to Jesus the Christ, the Son of God. Not become more religious, but surrender your life. Some of you have been wrestling with that decision. Some of you have come here and you know that you're not right with God right now. And as I speak, as I tell you this story, I want you to ask yourself this question. What is God saying to me today? What is God speaking to my heart today? And at the end of this service, maybe I need to go up for prayer as well. John chapter 5. I'm going to begin reading in verse 2. Now there is in Jerusalem near the Sheep Gate a pool, which in Aramaic is called Bethesda. Here, a great number of disabled people used to lie, the blind, the lame, and the paralyzed. Bethesda was a pool. The name Bethesda means house of mercy. And the Bible tells us that this pool, I've been to the place in Israel where that pool was. They've done some excavations and you see the area of the pool and the colonnades that were there. And this place was a place where the lame, the blind, the disabled, the hurting, the disease would gather. I don't know how many people would gather, but the Bible says there was a great number of people that would gather around this pool to do what? They were waiting. Waiting for what? Well, it tells us in Scripture that they were waiting for the stirring of the waters because there was a legend, a superstition, that occasionally an angel would come down from heaven and would stir the waters, and whoever got into the waters, the first would be healed. And so people had heard about this from all over the land. Hundreds of people gathered around the pool just to wait. Maybe today's the day. Maybe I'll be the first to get in. They were crowded around the edges of the pool, expecting that if the water stirred, they would be the first. Days they waited. Months they waited. Years they waited. Decades they waited. Waiting. Waiting. Maybe it will be my lucky day for change. And the Bible tells us that Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem, and as he passed by the pool of Bethesda and saw the multitude of people that was there, Jesus saw a man that had been paralyzed for 38 years. That's a long time to be paralyzed. He saw him lying there, and he went up, he spotted him, he zeroed in on him, and he went up and he asked the man this question. It seems like a rhetorical answer. It seems like a question you shouldn't ask someone that's laying there. But Jesus went up to this man, paralyzed for 38 years, and he says, "Do you want to get well?" What kind of question is that? It's like going to Christ Hospital, intensive care unit, walking into someone that's hooked up with IVs and saying, "Hey, do you really want to get well?" And I want you to notice a couple things. If you're taking notes, I want you to write this down. Some of us need to stop waiting, and you need to decide whether change is worth it. See, I'm struck by the fact that Jesus, first of all, walks through a place where there's a lot of broken people. I love the fact that Jesus is not afraid of the hurting, the broken. I love the fact that Jesus saw him before he saw Jesus. The Bible says that Jesus saw the man laying there. The man didn't even know who Jesus was, because later on we discover in the passage that even after Jesus healed him, he wasn't aware that it was Jesus that healed him. So Jesus walks into this place and he sees a man, and he focuses on a man that is in a desperate condition, that's been stuck for a long time, that's been waiting and waiting and waiting at the wrong pool, at the wrong place, for luck to change his life. But when Jesus walks into the scenario, everything changes. You know, when we gather together in this place, we gather together in Jesus' name. What makes this a compelling place is not our stained glass windows. Hello, we don't have any, but it's not our great steeple. Don't have that either. It's not the historic nature of this building. This was an old factory. What makes this place a compelling place is that we gather together in the name of Jesus the Christ, the Son of the living God, who has all power on earth and in heaven to do whatever he wants in people's lives. We invoke the name of the Almighty God, whose presence has power to heal, whose presence has power to save, whose presence has power to take that which is twisted and straighten it out, whose presence has power to take the fog of our mind and clear it up and give us clarity, whose presence has power to restore relationships and forgive the greatest and most grievous of sin, Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. And where Jesus is present, there is power. Jesus walks into a place where people are waiting for luck, but he walks in and changes the dynamic. I think of this man that's been waiting. And how many of you know that whoever we wait with begins to affect, we start thinking like whoever we're hanging around.
We'll be right back with Pastor Mark Jobe in a moment. You are listening to a Straight Talk message entitled Stop Waiting Around, which is from our series called Moved. After the broadcast, I'll tell you more about how you can get a free copy of this message and give you information regarding Pastor Mark's ministry at New Life Community Church in Chicago. Right now, let's get back to Pastor Mark. His message, Stop Waiting Around.
You're hanging around the sick, you start thinking like the sick. You're hanging around the broken, you start thinking like the broken. This man had been laying there for 38 years. I can imagine he had grown a little bit cynical. I can imagine his identity was, I'm a guy that lays by the pool with all the rest of the people that can't support themselves. That can't have a family. That can't raise kids. That have to live off of the compassion and mercy and donations of other people as I beg on the street, waiting, just waiting for luck, waiting for a chance to change, hoping that maybe, just maybe, life will turn around if I wait long enough. But if you're in that situation long enough, you start growing cynical, thinking life is never going to change. This is my plot in life. Maybe it's my destiny. Maybe it's my punishment. Maybe I deserve this. Maybe that's how life will always be. And Jesus asked him a simple question, but it's a compelling question. Do you want to get well? You see, I think that sometimes we talk about changing, but we really don't want to change. I think we dream about changing, but when it comes down to us, we're comfortable, more comfortable with an old problem than with a new solution. We tell people we want to change, but really, when it comes down to it, we're not willing to take steps. We explain that we're not happy with our circumstances, but we've gotten used to complaining. We've gotten used to excusing us. But really deep inside, we have to ask ourselves this question, do I really want to change? And I'm wondering if the Holy Spirit is speaking to some people in this congregation today, and maybe the Spirit of the living God is whispering to you. You talk about it. You tell people you want to change. But do you really want to change? Do you really want to change? I think change starts when something greater than ourselves awakens us to the possibility or the dream of a different future. When Jesus walked in, something changed about that place. The presence of Jesus brings the presence of hope. And secondly, if you're taking notes, I want you to write this down. Not only do we need to decide whether change is worth it and need to make a decision, but we also need to stop waiting around and avoid pointing to others as our excuse. Finally, when Jesus speaks to this lame man, this paralytic man who's been there for 38 years, he says to him, do you really want to get well? People are expecting a yes or no answer. The man looks up at Jesus and he says, sir, I have no one to help me in the pool when the water stirred. And while I'm trying to get in, someone else goes down ahead of me. How many of you know sometimes we're looking for an answer and people give us excuses? You have to admit, some of us are really good at excuses, aren't we? Have you ever met someone that is really good at excuses? I mean, they come up with doozies like, wow, that is some excuse, and they get better. How many teachers do we have in the house here today? How many of you have students that are really good at making excuses of why they weren't present at school? And it's like, wow, really? And now how many grandmothers do you have? Because it feels like it's your fourth grandmother that's died and you've been to her funeral. You're really good at making excuses. All of us have the tendency when we want to change, we look for a way. When we want to stay the same, we typically look for an excuse. I was thinking just not too long ago, I was stopped by a policeman a while back because I was going too fast. And he asked me why I was going too fast, but I have to explain it to you because I have an excuse, a little bit of excuse. So it was on a Sunday morning, and I was driving 55 miles an hour on the expressway. And my wife, who was next to me, says to me, why are you going so slow? And I said, I'm going 55, and there's a state trooper right next to me, and the speed limit is 55. She says, everybody in Chicago knows that there is a 5-mile grace period. Like, you could go 5 miles over the speed limit. Don't you know that? And because of my wife's suggestion, I accelerated up to 60. And lo and behold, the lights went on. The cop pulls me over, and I'm thinking, who didn't tell this cop about the 5 mile grace over the speed limit? I mean, he didn't get the memo or what? Everybody in Chicago knows that. And I'm looking over at my wife like, and he stops me, and he's very abrupt. He says, sir, can I ask you what possessed you that you would pass a fully marked squad car, speed past them? I wanted to say, I felt like Adam, the woman you gave me, Lord, the woman, it's the woman you gave me. She's the temptress. But I didn't want to sleep on the couch. And so I said, sir, I'm a pastor. I'm on my way to church. I don't want to be late. It was an excuse. I could have probably made it on time. We're good at excuses to get out of something when we don't want to do something. Jesus asked this man, do you want to get well? And he gives this man two excuses. You know how many times I've heard these excuses when people are struggling? The invalid says to Jesus, I have no one to help me. In other words, people don't care about me. If I had people, a better support group around me, I would change. You know how many times I've heard that? I just need more encouragement. If my wife was more supportive, if my brothers would call me up, if my small group leader would care a little bit more, if people would just follow up, if people just cared, like this guy was saying, hey, my family's not here for me. And sometimes we make an excuse that we won't change because people around us don't care enough to help us change. Can I tell you something? That's an excuse. The other excuse that he gives is, not only don't I have anybody to help me, but the other excuse that he gives is, he said, while I'm trying to get in the water, someone else goes down ahead of me. In other words, people around me are keeping me from changing. Not only do I not have enough people that care about me to help me change, but other people get in my way of changing. Hey, I want to change, but this guy comes and moves between me and the pool, and he's only been here 10 years. I've been here 38 years, and I told him, hey, you're blocking my way. He doesn't care about me. Everybody's watching out for their own self. Pastor, I would change. I know I drink too much. But my boss is on my tail day and night. He stresses me out. So if my boss weren't on me so much, I could change. Pastor, I know I'm angry. I blow up at my kids and I swear at them and I kick the dog and I throw the cat around. But you know, it's my wife. She just nags at me, is not happy, and she does this. If she would just change her attitude, I would be a different person. It's my wife. The teenager says, hey, I know I feel rebellious, but you know, my parents just don't give me enough freedom. They're always on the rules. They're always on my back. They don't trust me. If they would trust me, I would change. Hey, I used to go to church. Yeah, I was into church for a while. But you know, there was a guy there. He was into the Bible. He was such a hypocrite. Man, he would hallelujah, praise hallelujah on Sunday. And then I'd see him down in the bar on the street. He was such a hypocrite. You know what? You know, he keeps me away from God. I left the church. I left God because this guy, you know, I don't want to be like that. Really? No one cares. I don't have enough people that care. And people get in my way. Can I tell you something? Our biggest obstacle to change is not the people around us, are not the people over us, are not the people beneath us. The greatest obstacle to change is right here. You are your greatest challenge to change.
This concludes the first half of Pastor Mark's message called Stop Waiting Around, which is from our series called Moved. Join us again on the next Straight Talk for the second half of this message. Before you go, we invite you to download our free Straight Talk app at PastorMarkJobe.com. That's PastorMarkJobe, J-O-B-E.com. There you can download this evening's message for free and find a link to our New Life Community Church ministry page where you can browse the ministry of Pastor Mark Jobe. You'll also find a Bible app and over 400 other messages that we think will definitely encourage you. If you have any questions about our program or just need some prayer, you can call our office at 773-585-3300. That's 773-585-3300. On behalf of Pastor Mark, myself, and our Straight Talk team, we thank you for listening. Please do tune in again for another edition of Straight Talk, and have a great evening. God bless.